Derby.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breads on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Sally, go round the roses. Sally, go round the roses. Sally, go round the roses.
Sally, go round the pretty roses.
Roses, they won't hurt you.
Roses, they can't hurt you.
Roses, they can't hurt you.
No, the roses, they can't hurt you.
Sally, don't you go downtown. Sally, don't you go, don't you go downtown. Saddest thing in the whole wide world is to see your baby with another girl.
We're back at the races. Just saying another happy derby. Barbara Livingston of the Daily Racing Form, of course, of camera fame. And Barb, one of the first people yesterday I saw. She was on the turn over by where the track super, where the tractors come out. And I hear, I pull in, and it's all foggy. You can't really see anything. You know, it's about 6 a.m. and 6:30, and so it's dark anyway. And out of the gloaming, here comes Barbara with you know, three or four cameras dangling in every direction. Johnny, we're going to get Johnny D in now and in his normal spot, and then Tim Grahams will join us after. So we'll push Tim back a half hour instead. And, you know, looking ahead to 11, Craig Perrett, David Whiteley, Christophe Clement, Mark Hasse are the human considerations, trainer and rider considerations for the Hall of Fame. Royal Delta, Blind Luck, Gio Ponti, Havre de Grace, and Rags to Riches are your equine possibilities an hour from now, we'll find out who goes into the Hall of Fame. Johnny D's in the Hall of Fame. He's in several. He's in the South Philly Hall of Fame. What other ones, Johnny?
I don't know, but I think the Hall of Shame would be more appropriate.
only when you don't give out a good a good push. Let's fix Joanne. Pick up Johnny and reconnect with him, please, because that's not going to make it, that phone. So give it a second, and she'll make another attempt with Johnny. So we'll get a better connection. Right? Yeah. Better now? You think?
Right.
Ah, there we go. Beautiful. Well done.
Better?
Much better. Much better.
All right.
Good. All right. You're in business. Johnny.
What an exciting derby we have, huh?
I think so. I just heard from Jeremy Blanc, actually, on a separate topic, but that of course, talking to you and hearing from Jeremy makes me realize we got to turn in the Express Bet Derby wagering guide entry by what, Wednesday?
Yeah, you better have it in. Don't
unbelievable. That's not right. This is, geez.
Yeah, it's time. The guide will be available Friday. So anyone out there who's familiar with the guide, you know it's a great resource for information to begin the handicapping process on the Derby. We publish it a week early so that everyone can get a nice head start. There's lots of material in there. We've got a great group of experts along with your host, Steve Bick. We've got John White. We've got Jeff Siegel. Millie Ball, and this year we're going to have Zoe Cadman doing some workout analysis in the guide.
Nice.
We've got Bob Neumeier returning, Dick Girardi, who's always on top of things. So it's an outstanding group each year. And, of course, the guide is filled with lots of stats and trends and derby information. You're not going to find all these bits of data in one place anywhere else. And the guide is, as I said, available beginning Friday. And it's free at expressbet.com and worth twice the price. Also, we have an updated version of the guide because we're going to put this out on Friday. So there are some things that happen between one Friday to the next Friday. So we're going to update the guide with any late-breaking information that the experts maybe want to pass along to you. If Zoe happens to see a hot workout between this week and next week, she'll pass that along. Although traditionally, most of the serious work is done this week. And it's just fine tuning. But if something should come up, we've got the updated guide. Plus, in the updated guide, you'll have Eddie Olczyk's analysis of the race and Brett Musburger, who'll contribute his analysis. So, you get the first guide this Friday, the updated guide the following Thursday, I believe we're going to have that up. So, boy, you'll have. You'll have plenty of information to lose intelligently on the Kentucky Derby.
Well, I'm trying to push the suggestion, Johnny, here, less than 2 weeks out, with all the notation that has come through the late stages of the prep season, the 9 furlong preps and beyond, because we do have two horses coming out of the UAE Derby at 9.5 mile and 3/16. I'm not as convinced about how wide open and murky this is from the win candidate side. It sure feels like the win candidates have separated themselves enough from the exotic considers, and I don't know if you agree or not. I mean, I suppose if the five I just talked about with Darren may not be the same five that you would come up with if I said who are the five, you know, candidates that can win this race? Or do you think there's more than five candidates that can win?
Well, when you say you have five win candidates, I don't care who they are. That's a murky race. Right? You start off with, I mean, most years, look, recently we've had one or two, I think. Favorites have won the last six times.
Yeah, crazy.
So this year, if we go in and we say, and you know, that hasn't happened, by the way. I have that stat if you're wondering. Six consecutive favorites, not since 1896. So that's happened now. We've had that happen. I think it's a year for the favorites to take a little break based on, you know, historical information. Now, all these stats that I like to quote and like to look at, and people say, oh, they don't mean anything. They don't, you know, we got rid of the Apollo curse. That doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter anymore, except I want to know that now that curse is one for 63. You know? And since, you know, a two-year-old, I want to know that because that's a big... And guess what? Guess how many runners this year we have that didn't start at two in this year's Kentucky Derby?
That would be...
We have zero.
Zero, yeah.
Yeah. So that just gives you some inkling of what Justify was able to do. We don't even have a horse this year that's been able to do to get to the race, let alone win the Triple Crown. So since that doesn't affect us this year, we'll forget about it. But my point is, with stats, I like to know what I'm up against. Is there plenty of reason to love Tacitus or feel like, you know, he's the horse this year? Then his wood win was solid. Workmanlike effort. He drifts in a little bit, but he's still learning. He hasn't had many races. A Wood winner hasn't won the Kentucky Derby since 2000. Wood starters in the Kentucky Derby. The last 33 Wood starters, the record is zero wins, zero seconds, zero thirds. That bothers me. I mean, why? How has that happened? How is that possible that that could go like that? Okay, no winners since 2000, I understand. But not hitting the first, second, or third slots in 33 attempts? To me, that's saying something. Now, is that enough to sway me away from using Tacitus on my ticket? I don't know yet. But it certainly is it sticks in the back of my head and it rubs back there. And it's kind of... You know, do you want to buck this trend? Is this the tax? I mean, many people have said, look, I want to have tax on my ticket. At least he's not particularly a win contender, but I'd like to have him on my ticket. Well, then you look at that stat and you think, oh, really? Do I really want him? So I don't recall off the top of my head who the five were. I'm going to guess that Tacitus was in the five that you talked to Darren about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he's the top point earner. He's run, you know, he's won three in a row. He's fast enough. If you look at his figures, he's on a great pattern. 93 buyer in the Tampa Bay Derby, 97 in the Wood. These are all things that you have to like about Tacitus, which is what makes it hard when you look at the Wood stats and say, man, you know, the other thing is with a stat, can I explain this? You know, maybe if you look at the consecutive favorite streak winning the Kentucky Derby, you could maybe say, well, that's been since they instituted the point system. And the point system has, for whatever reason, you know, made this race a favorites race. I don't really understand how that's, I mean, maybe... I don't know how that's why that would be true, but maybe that's the case. But maybe not, because I don't know why that would be true. I don't know why the point system would have necessarily... We used to do it by... Now, okay, it keeps the sprinters out. We know that. But what effect does that have on the favorite? I'm not really sure. Anyway, you have to look at a stat and say, can I explain this that? And the not winning it, the not racing at two, and then winning the Kentucky Derby stat, we can explain that. We know why that's hard to do. It's hard to do because, you know, horses need to mature. They need to have that early exposure. We know that. Everyone talks about two-year-old racing. Well, you know, they need a little exposure at two. Then they need the great development at three. It's a process. And that's why it's so difficult to not race at two and start, you know, in January or February. It makes it very difficult. Anyway, so we talked about Tacitus. Omaha Beach, I don't know what you can knock him on, except if you want to say his last race was too good for his own good. He ran really hard. It was on top of, you know, another top effort in the Rebel Stakes. He's been in some wars. The Rebel was a war. He won by a nose over Game Winner. He came back. Improbable couldn't get to him through the lane. Great race. That's the only thing I get where you say, well, you know, he ran a, you know, a huge number in the Thoroughbreds, speed figures. Was that his best? Did he fire his biggest shot? And will that race affect him negatively in the Kentucky Derby? That's about the only negative I've got. Can he handle the distance? Well, he probably can. Yeah, he can handle the distance. He looks like he can. I don't see why he can't. He's handled wet a couple times. He hasn't taken a backward step in his speed figures since he started racing, which is through seven races. That's impressive. You don't see that too often, especially at this level. So he's less than three lengths away from being 7-0. When you think of all these factors, Mike Smith chose him over Roadster. You got Richard Mandela training. And then you may bring up and say, well, what about the quarter crack, which everyone's talking about? I listened to Mandela. I listened to Ben Kraft. There were clips on Twitter. This is an old crack. It's like from January, I think.
Well, no, from after the maiden win.
Okay, well, early February, 2nd of February, which he won by 9. So, okay, it was on the sloppy track. He had a little quarter crack. Obviously, it hasn't affected him. We've got proof of that. So, I mean, if you want to knock him and say, well, he's going to be the favorite at between 4-1 and 5-1, I would think. Okay, those are the two things you can knock. But the fact that he's the fastest horse in the race in his last race is not really a negative. You can make it a negative if you want because the figure is so big. But, you know, it's nice to have the fastest horse. So he's definitely, I don't think you can knock him, really. There are some things, some shades of knocking. Who else was in the five?
It's those two and the three Baffert's. For the people that are trying to find ways to diminish the three Baffert's, I think you're making a huge mistake. And the more you watch those races appreciate that both of particularly Game Winner and Improbable Roadster is coming at this slightly different in a slightly different angle, but he also is third off the layoff. I think those that are working themselves into a pretzel to go against Baffert are making a big mistake.
It's funny because I was just going to knock all three of them.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. You can't. You know, when you look at one of the bonuses of the Thoroughgraph product is that races are plotted on a graph so you can see each race in the development. If you want to look at Roadster, you can say, okay, Omaha Beach has improved his buyers in each race. You look at Roadster, he's improved his buyers in each race. He hasn't gotten to that big race yet. Will that big race be the Kentucky Derby? Well, I'll tell you what. If you look at Baffert's three horses on the third graph sheets, the plotting of those three and the numbers, they're just getting better and better and better and better. Slightly better every time, beginning at two, moving through, improving at three, and just getting a little bit. It's no wonder this man, you know, is going to, I would assume, before it's all over, rewrite the Triple Crown record book. As far as developing a three-year-old, well, he's right there. I mean, you know, well, what,
no,
you
I think
more?
He's won more than anybody. He's already won more than everybody, right?
One more. Yeah, absolutely. He's won
more Triple Crown races.
Two, two Triple Crowns. He's won more Triple Crown races than anyone.
Yeah,
and he needs one more Derby win. To tie what, Ben Jones, maybe? Anyway, the point is, he knows how to get one ready. And these three are coming up to it just the way you like to see horses come up to a big race. Now, you say, if you want to say, well, you know, Game Winner hasn't looked, you know, as dominant as last year and it may have caught up to him, okay, I can buy that. But you better have him on your, if you're using exotics, you better have him on your ticket. Because he's like, what is he, like a nose and a, he's a nose and a half length of being 6-0. So you better have him on your ticket, whatever you're doing, because the distance is not going to bother him either. Improbable, I got a little distance concern with him. I don't think I'm going to leave him off a ticket. In fact, I probably won't. But as far as the win end is concerned, I'm a little bit concerned about him going a distance. The only reason I say that is because he did not catch. He did not even seem to close the gap on Omaha Beach the other day, and also he got caught from behind in the Rebel. And when you're a Bob Baffert horse and you take the lead, okay, it was his first race, you know, but he wasn't off since the summer. He was only off since December. And Baffert usually has his horses ready to run. He made the lead at Hot Springs, and he got run down. He just got plain and simple run down by Long Range Toddy, who I'm not that, you know, in love with. So Improbable, you know, so-so. Where Jose Ortiz takes off of him. Of course, he told his brother, yeah, go ahead and ride him. He's a nice horse. So, you know, Arad's going to take over on there. Nothing lost there. He cocks his head sideways in the stretch. Baffert experimented with the blinkers. He was a little upset in the gate. You get those all those little... There's little bumps in the road there that I kind of I'm feeling off. So Improbable a little less than if Roadster were to make that step and win the race. I would say I see it, I understand it, I know what happened. If Game Winner were to kind of grind somebody down, kind of just he's going to have to come from off the pace. He's been wide in his races this year, if he just kind of grinds along and wins, I'd be a little bit surprised. It'd be a minor hiccup surprise because he's a good horse. There's no doubt about it. You know, so really what it comes down to is, and I like to explain it to people this way. You're going to pick up, well, when we had newspapers, now, you're going to go online Sunday morning, and if you see as the headline, Country House wins the Kentucky Derby, how surprised are you going to be?
Well, I won't be. No, I'll only be surprised. I'll only be surprised that the pace ended up being fast enough for him to get there. That I mean, that would be the surprise to me. Would be that, in fact, that came up with Darren, that there would be enough pace in this, the way it unfolds, for the, you know, for win, Heichel, Country House. I mean, those are the three that are, you know, essentially going to be 18th, 19th, and 20th early. So that would be the surprise. And you know, Country House has something. All three of them actually have something that they've got to take a next step. They've got to improve. I mean, if you were talking about game winner, for instance, who, and Darren rightly said, well, how far back is he going to be in that scenario? And I said from 12th to 17th. If he was the deepest of the closers, you would say he doesn't necessarily have to improve, but he is going to need the pace set up. That I think the three of those horses have to be better than they've been to win.
Absolutely. So you would be mildly surprised?
I would be mildly surprised that there was a pace collapse, that we ended up with a pace collapse scenario.
Correct. So then you go to the pace analysis, and you start to look at pace.
Yes.
Are we likely to get a pace collapse? Are we likely to have, you know, a mad dash for the lead in this Kentucky Derby? And everything I've looked at so far, I mean, certainly this can change, it all leads me to the horse who I think is kind of getting overlooked. And I know why he's getting overlooked. But when I look at his form and I look at his speed figures and his Thoroughgraph numbers,
Maximum Security.
Yeah. I mean, I look at him and I think he doesn't need the lead, but he could get the lead if someone else wanted to. You know, and again, I agree with Darren and you guys discussed earlier post position. I think for a horse like Maximum Security, that's going to be relatively important. Well, not so much. It could really benefit him. Let's put it that way. If he were to draw, you know, outside and be able to leave there and either go if nobody really wants to go, or sit second or third. He's going to be right up in the vanguard somewhere. He really, to my thinking, has been overlooked since Omaha Beach and Improbable and the Santa Anita Derby with, you know, those have all kind of moved ahead of him in the what have you done for me lately category. And okay, if you want to knock his Florida Derby and say he got away with an easy lead, yes, he did. There's no question about it. But this guy's not ranked. He's out there. The fact that he could go that slow, ears pricked, just galloping along, and then when they asked him, boom, he took off. Now you say, well, he went so slow, he should explode. That, they don't always do that. They don't always explode at the end, no matter how slow they go. This guy rebroke. He took off again at the end. Ears pricked after the wire. Pulled up on the backside. He's looking around like, let's go, man. When are we going to do something? I mean, he's unbeaten. Okay. So there we come to this. He's so unconventional in this race that I think it turns people off. They don't know what to do with him. You know, it's like maiden 16. You know, it's like, that sticks in the back of any handicapper's craw, that maiden 16. But you, I forget the gentleman's name, the manager for
Ben Glass. Ben Glass.
You had him on the show. He explained what happened, why that happened. Now, as a handicapper, not knowing anything, not knowing any inside information, I originally suspected, well, this one's got to be crooked. He's got to have problems. He's got to have serious problems. Well, okay, they got rid of the sire. The dam is gone. They didn't really, you know, why? Because they didn't like what this one looked like. You know, there's a lot that goes on before he races the first time, and a decision is made to run a horse for maiden 16. But Ben explained it all, and it was none of those things. Oh, it was some of those things. They didn't think he was that much. Obviously, But there wasn't a lot of talk about problems. It wasn't like he had issues. It wasn't like they were, you know, where Ben Glass said, well, you know, he had a, you know, he had an ankle that, you know, was kind of funny, or he had a knee. None of that stuff. So after he spoke, I was like, you know, maybe he just hadn't shown much. And we talk about the light going on with Omaha Beach. Well, okay, it took five races for that to happen. In this guy's case, it might have just happened when the gates opened. He might be a game day player and not a practice player. Gives his best when the lights are on. Also, what else makes this funny is that the way Jason Service trains, his method of, you know, moving them along at a decent clip for a mile and then letting them then put in their finish, their kind of workout, and after that, it's so unconventional. You know, maybe he couldn't really tell with this guy. Maybe this guy wasn't really showing what he could do. He certainly, you wouldn't, I don't think you would see the pace that this guy has if you're training that way. Slow, 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 finish, you know? But it's obviously agreed with him. And the fact that he's gotten these tomato cans, for lack of a better term, in the optional claiming starter rounds, 50, two of them, he's run on mud, which you hardly ever see mud these days. You usually see slop or something. He's run on mud. He's won. He's won from 6 furlongs to a mile and 8. He's won in the slop. It's just all so unconvincing. He's run 2 of the fastest fire speed figures in the race. His Starograph numbers are not the fastest, but they're not far off. And the pace of the race, as I examine it, he's mm-hmm. going to have a really good view of things. Mm-hmm. And what I've he's unbeaten. He fits. Okay, our Derby winners lately, does he fit the pattern of our recent Derby winners? Well, 7 consecutive Derby winners have been unbeaten as 3-year-olds. And the last 6 have had, you know, like extended winning streaks. Smallest one was Always Dreaming. Only had 3 race winning streak. Orb had a 4 race winning streak. Justify, 6 races. You know, you just go on and on. 7 for Nyquist, Fire and Chrome. So this guy's got those streaks. He's on a roll. I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to win the Kentucky Derby, but I am going to say, if you're going to beat him, you better show up with your absolute best, because this guy, the plan for his workout, and we're not going to learn anymore. We've learned all we're going to learn about maximum security. Jason Service says, by the time he gets to the Derby, if all goes well, he's going to have 3 open miles since the 30th of March. And Jason Service said, if he doesn't win, it won't be because he's not fit. And I just think, what has he done wrong? I'm looking here. I'm trying to find what he's done wrong. He's got pace. He's fast enough. He comes out of the number one prep for the Kentucky Derby, the Florida Derby. Okay, you can rail about it. You can say, well, there was no pace. I understand. But for whatever reason, that race has produced the most Kentucky Derby winners. Anyway, there you go. That's a pretty in-depth rundown, in my opinion.
No, well done, Tony. Well done, Johnny, I appreciate it, and this is what, you know, we'll continue to do this with each horse and with, you know, from everybody's perspective. One thing that jumped off the page at me when I was looking down as you talk, too, maximum security gets into that storyline that we probed last year, and I forget who, I guess it was Darren that was it? I think it was Darren that pulled it together about horses that had only raced at one track. You remember this from this discussion from last year?
Yeah, I don't remember what the stats were. I remember the discussion. Yeah.
Well, going into last year, because Maximum Security, the four starts at Gulfstream, and Heichel, the five starts all at Aqueduct, as it happens. Kind of interesting. And I hadn't realized that. But Heichel, all five of his, the horses in the recent past that have had that, going back, this goes back 10 years. Battle of Midway and Girvin in 17. Materiality, It's a Knockout, and Tensender in 15. Uncle Cy, Wildcat Red in 14. Vijack in 13, Aqueduct. Midnight Interlude, a horse that came up actually with Baffert when I was out in California, 2011. And Summer Bird and Dunkirk in 09. Those horses, the best finish of that group was Battle of Midway with the third. And Materiality with some trouble from the three-hole sixth. Otherwise, and Summer Bird finished sixth as well, and of course went on to win his next four grade ones in a row. Not a bad run. Or actually, I take that back. He won. He got beaten the Haskell. So it was the Belmont. He had that unique the New York grade one. Trio when he won Belmont, Travers, and the Jockey Club Gold Cup. I think that was the interesting thing that he did the rest of that year. But you got two horses that fit that description coming into this.
Yeah, and I don't know. I guess you know, to step back to what we were talking about this race, about, you know, when you're looking at closers in this particular Derby, do you expect a fast pace? And looking at the form right now, look, the Derby pace is always going to be solid. You do not have to think that Maximum Security is going to go to the front and he's going to dance around there again like he did in Florida Derby. That's not going to happen. They will go fast. The question is, how fast? And the next question is, will the horses who are going fast back up? Are they the type that are going to fold? And I think that's been the biggest difference with kind of what we've seen in recent years, is we've seen horses who wanted the race close to the pace that didn't stop. You know, they're not cheap speed horses. These are quality animals. Now, you may say to Maximum Security, well, how quality is he? Yeah, that's the question. That's what you have to answer, you know. But will there be a torrid early pace? Well, there could be, but I don't expect one.
No,
I expect an honest. Yeah, I expect an honest Kentucky Derby pace. And from what I'm looking at here, some of the horses I see being up front are not going to fold their tents and go away. You know, you have a horse like, let's take one for example, Vekoma, who, you know, much has been made about his strange action.
Yeah, way of going.
Now, if you told me Vekoma started from maiden 16, I would say, okay, well, that's why. You know, because he's got that funny action and, you know, it may be a problem. Well, it's obviously not a problem for him. But he's one of the horses that some analysts have said will be close to the front. He may be close to the front, but he's not really a speed horse. I mean,
no.
I don't think of him as, no. So, okay, as we go through, well, you know, Baffert's three are not really speed horses, which is strange, because usually in the Baffert program, coming graduating that program, they are speed horses, but not this year. Game Winner, certainly not a speed horse. Omaha Beach, he likes to lay.
He's close. He and Vekoma and Maximum Security are the horses you can expect to be in some sort of a triangulated pace scenario.
Yeah, and I think at that point, looking at the way Mike Smith rode this horse in the Arkansas Derby, he's going to be comfortable just off whoever's setting the pace. You know, maybe even, you know, you want to get good position in that first turn. You don't want to lose a bunch of ground on the first turn. So they'll use him enough for that long stretch run first time around to get him over, get a good position. And he's got that kind of speed. He doesn't get ranked. He settles down. You know, all good stuff. So, but he's not going to be on the lead. I don't see a lot of speed. So, to me, that makes Maximum Security deadly. And I just don't know what quality he is, how really good he is, and what price he's going to be, and what post he gets. Those things are all going to factor in. But to me, he hasn't done much wrong. I don't,
nope.
I don't see where he's made any mistakes.
Nope. No, the only you know, if that maiden win had been a maiden special, nobody would have any questions. There's all kinds of these questions too to answer the war of will status question and how do you take him you know after that performance in the Louisiana Derby, the international participants, how do you judge Master Planner, Master Fencer, Master, oh my God. Master Fencer's right. You want to say Master Planner? There's about six different things that you would say. Gray Magician, Pliska Parfait. What do you do with those three? You know, I can imagine. I hear you. I hear you on that front, Johnny.
You break some eggs. You can't like them all.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Well, you'll have the advantage. We'll talk next week, but we also will look forward to you. When will you file your Johnny D column with your play with your super or try layered suggestion?
Yeah, that'll be in my Express Bet column on Thursday of Derby week. And if you want to look back at this week, it talks about beginning your handicapping. What are the stages you should go through?
Oh, that'll be good. And John White, obviously, too. We'll get John's final thought how he's going to approach it, and then you know we also probably should talk to you about you and Will Schwartz's seven horse super box.
Yeah, this year that almost makes sense.
This year definitely. This year, there's been some depressed with all these with all of the favorites. It's been a little depressed the prices for what you guys are shooting for, but your history of success is pretty good in that. So we'll look forward.
The tough one this year again, I think, is going to be that fourth horse. That's really going to be this.
Well, that's when you're going to look to win Heichel and Country House. And those other candidates probably. You know, by my standards, but might fit that Code of Honor. Code of Honor is going to be a late running consideration. So, Johnny, a great introduction to get going into Derby Week, and we've got a lot yet to do this morning. We've got Tim Grahams is going to join us here momentarily, and then at 11, Brian Bouye from the Hall of Fame. We're going to have at least one guest that has got Hall of Fame connection to the announced inductees, and then later Graham Motion and more. So, Johnny, I appreciate it, and we'll talk later in the week and certainly next week.
Thank you. Enjoy your time in Louisville.
I always do, without fail. It's hard for this not to be just a kind of a gleeful enterprise between now and Derby Day and Derby Night. And even the drive home with Tina, I mean, because after Derby, Tina and I typically have to get on the road to get home in time for Monday's show, and for her to go back to school. And we also stop in Rochester. We got the kids that are going to be married in June. So the back end of this trip is just as chock full of entertainment as the front end. But we'll continue on. Johnny D, everybody. XB Johnny D and the Express Bet Kentucky Derby Wagering Guide to All Triple Crown, of course, the Friday before. So Friday, typically around noon, will be the drop of this year's Derby Wagering Guide, and then we'll start hitting you next week with the updates. We'll stay right here. I don't have time for a break, it seems, because we got way too much between now and noon. And this conversation is going to be a lot of fun, because watching from afar, the Charlestown Classic, the whole card, which was a terrific slate of stake races, as it always is, but then leading up to the Million Dollar Classic and watching the West Virginia bred of Tim Cruz running to Love You, watching just this absolute terror on that oval. And it became pretty obvious, turning for home. Not only was he, you know, going to duel to the end, you could just tell he was had a will to win that you can't deny. Tim Cruz, congratulations. Just unbelievably special to see what you guys accomplished on Saturday.
I really appreciate it. It was nice to represent the home team, and a lot of people come out here to watch the horse run. And I tell you, I think the horse thrives on it because he seemed really happy, and it was a real special day for us here.
Hey, Tim, what did you expect going in style-wise? Because, I mean, I threw him in underneath. I picked him fourth, and I thought for him to win on the front end, I thought, how he's going to get pressure. How's he going to win wire to wire? And he rated beautifully for Oscar Gomez.
He really did. Oscar's done a phenomenal job with the horse. And but no, we figured that. I said, you know, I said, everybody knows that our horse has kind of got a front end running style, but you know, here lately he seems like he's matured some. And in the morning we've kind of had him in behind horses, and we thought that the horse would rate because we was afraid of just being too hot of a pace. Also, so I said we wanted to be careful we didn't get in that situation.
You also probably benefited a little bit, even though it's three turns, and you wouldn't think that being outside is a positive, but I get the sense that actually being in the eight hole kind of worked to your advantage.
Yeah, when we seen the draw, we couldn't have been happier, especially with speed, a little speed in the race, with Mr. Service's horse being inside of us. I told Oscar, I said, just try to come out aggressively and kind of draft over and get yourself a spot. That's better than being down on the rail and have to really send out there hard, or you're going to be passed early, you know. So the eight hole, I think, was a positive for us.
And you could tell that the two of them were going, you know, going pretty easily, and there were different horses that, you know, made initial moves. Nanouche kind of ranged up, and Rally Cry, you know, Rally Cry was getting a dream trip, and I could tell on the second time around, on about midway on the backstretch, all of a sudden you could see that John Velasquez was asking Rally Cry to keep up, and Running to Love You and Diamond King were edging away, and I thought, forget it. These two, it's going to come down to these two.
Yeah, I was, you know, I take that horse to the post all the time just because he's been a little ornery and he likes the pony that I ride, so I take him to the post. But I was sitting at the half-mile pole when him and John's horse come around there kind of head and head, but I said, well, I said, I know they're you know, they're head and head and everything. I said, but both horses was running along very comfortable. I said, this is going to be a horse race here because they both look really comfortable on the front end, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'd say the last 150 yards, you could see that, there was a point where Oscar had Castellano's measure. And Castellano, you know, he was looking to win his fourth. It's not like Javier Castellano doesn't know how to win this race.
Exactly. That's exactly right. You know, Oscar's always said, you know, and you know, we've never faced horses like this field of horses. It was a great field of horses, but, you know, my horse does like it here, and he knows the way around here. These three turns don't bother him, but the other horse dug in gamely, so